The reading is written in 1 Timothy, chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, and is to be found on page 1192 in the Church Bible. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Paul is writing to Timothy with instructions on how to organize and run the church in Ephesus. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labour and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Francis. Let me pray as well. Father, as we come to this series on disciplines of grace, Lord, we pray that you would help us to hear what you're saying. Lord, in particular, to hold those two words together, discipline, requiring our effort, and grace, wholly leaning on your kindness. Lord, maybe always hold those two things together as we look at your word. We ask this in your name. Amen. I think probably the moment of greatest humiliation for me in sport was the Holy Trinity Church versus St. Patrick's football match when I went on to go in and goal. And it turned out I was totally unfit. Unfit in almost any category you might think of. I was unfit because I didn't understand the rules of football. I didn't know where to take a goal kick from, for instance. I was unfit because I didn't have any of the skills required for football. I didn't realise that you couldn't body check people, for instance. And unfit physically because the first time I tried to kick a ball clear, I managed to tear all of my hamstring muscles and most of my back as well, and I had to limp off after 5 minutes. I was hopelessly unfit. And it was quite depressing because there have been days when I've been really quite fit and to suddenly realise what I had become. It was quite depressing. And it reminds us, doesn't it, about how important physical fitness is. Something to which Paul refers in his letter to Timothy and says it's of value. But he then goes on to talk about a different sort of fitness. He says, whilst physical training is of some value, it is training in godliness that has value for all things. And so we're going to be thinking about that, what it means to train ourselves to be godly. And we're going to look at a number of different things about spiritual fitness. Then we're going to look at how we get to be spiritually fit as well. So the first one is spiritual fitness begins with salvation. Look at verse 10. We've seen in verse 8, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. So verse 7, therefore train yourself to be godly. And then he says this, that is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who's the savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Spiritual fitness begins with salvation. Look at what Paul says in that verse. And this is probably the most important thing we need to hear. He doesn't say you need to train in godliness so that you will be saved. He says that because you are saved, now you train in godliness. Look, salvation comes not through training in spiritual training, through training in godliness. It comes to those who believe, we see at the end. But the result of that, the consequence of being saved, is that we train in godliness. Spiritual training, and I really want us to hear this, is not what leads to us being saved, but is the response to God's gracious act to save us. God saved you when you were totally spiritually unfit, if you're a Christian, if you believed in Jesus. He saved you when you were so spiritually unfit, you were spiritually dead. And let me tell you, being dead is about as physically unfit as you can get. And so it is with us spiritually. We were dead. We were totally spiritually unfit, and yet God saved us. So spiritual training is not the way to become a Christian. It's not even the way to become a better Christian. If you put your faith in Jesus, you are God's child. There's no great gradation of that. You are wholly loved. When he looks at you, he sees the perfection of Jesus. So it isn't even about how you become a better Christian. It's the way how to become a fitter Christian, and therefore a more fruitful Christian. Thinking about it in physical terms, which we're going to do a lot here, physical fitness, well, I'm not more of a human when I train, but I am a fitter human. So it is with spiritual training. You're not more of a Christian when you do it, but I will be a more effective and more fruitful Christian. So spiritual fitness begins with salvation. But secondly, spiritual fitness, well, what is it? It's godliness. Verse 7, rather train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. But what does this word godliness mean? If you're somebody who's new to church and Christianity, you won't know at all. If you are somebody who's been a Christian for a long time and come to church, you won't know at all, because it's one of those words we just use but never define. I think the best way of saying it is that godliness is where your life is directed towards God. He is the one you look to. He is the one you look to save you, to be your comfort, to base your identity on, to find your security in. Or another way of looking at it is that you look towards Jesus. And here's the thing, that when you start looking towards Jesus, when he starts becoming your focus in your life, you become more like him. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul writes this, we who with unveiled faces all behold, all look at the Lord's glory, all look at Jesus' glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. So spiritual fitness is not just knowing Jesus more and more, it is becoming like Jesus more and more and leaning on him. So spiritual fitness is godliness. Thirdly, spiritual fitness takes effort. I'm sorry. It's like physical fitness in that regard. We see that train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Verse 10, that is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who's the savior of all people. And then right at the end, he says this, be diligent in these matters. Diligent is a word which means work hard at it. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Paul knows that growing in godliness, even keeping up with where we've got to, takes effort. It's like physical exercise, actually. A little while ago, I was training on my exercise bike. I know it's an readily apparent, but I was training on my exercise. My scores were getting better and better. And then I got COVID. And so I missed out 2.5 weeks of training. Now, it would be mad if the time when I came back, I thought, right, what was my score the last time I trained? I thought, I'll just go for that again. Because that isn't how fitness works. If you stop training, you become unfit. Physical training is like running up the down escalator. And as you get older, the down escalator gets faster. Well, what we know is true of physical fitness is also true of spiritual fitness. But why? Why is that true of spiritual fitness? Well, the answer is because there is a war going on in our hearts. In Galatians chapter 5, it tells us this. For the flesh, that means the side of us that didn't know Jesus, the bit of us which was who we were before we came to know Jesus. The flesh, which means the part of us, therefore, which is corrupted by sin, desires what is contrary to the spirit. So now we see that in the Christian there is both this old self that is tempted and drawn to sin and the spirit coming in, drawing us to Jesus. And they're against each other. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. And that is why spiritual training, if we stop doing it, we end up slipping back into the ways of the flesh. We're in the middle of a battle. And therefore, in spiritual training, inaction is not neutrality in this battle. It's surrender. We'll simply find ourselves bobbling along at the bottom of the escalator. So spiritual fitness takes effort. But next, spiritual fitness matters. If you go to the GP, she will warn you about the consequences of carrying on in your unhealthy pattern. Heart disease, diabetes, weight gain, sluggishness, all the rest of it. Well, the same is true if we neglect our spiritual training. There are two main effects of this. First is that we will become unhealthy. We've seen that godliness is the goal of training, verses 7 and 8. And what was godliness? Do you remember what it was? Being focused on God as our hope and our salvation, our security and identity. When we stop being fit, we stop focusing on God. And so actually we become frightened. We put our hope in other things to save us, maybe our work or our family or relationships or something. And suddenly anxiety and stress will creep in. We'll no longer base our identity on being a child of God, but we'll look in on ourselves to find some reason to feel proud of ourselves. But then we'll be struck by imposter syndrome and the fear of being found out. It's horrible being spiritually unfit. And as we take our eyes off Jesus, we become less like him. We'll become less glorious. We'll become more polluted. And here's the thing, Jesus will feel distant. We'll fall into unhealthy habits of binge eating, spiritual binge eating. Eating what is spiritually unhealthy, whether it's TV, social media, shopping, food, whatever it is. Clothing, even physical training. And so spiritually you'll be left feeling bloated and sluggish in our hearts. Do you relate to that? Do you feel the Lord saying to you right now, that's you? So we'll become unhealthy. But actually the thing which 1 Timothy points out, Paul points out to Timothy, is you won't just harm yourself, you'll harm others. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Our spiritual fitness, our godliness, our Jesus-likeness affects others. That's why spiritual training blesses the church as a whole. Because we are inspired by how you're becoming more like Jesus. We're inspired by your worship when you come here on a Sunday. We know that you're always going to be here on a Sunday. But nothing's going to have a bigger priority for you than coming to church. And so we'll see your happy mug and we'll be blessed by it. We'll see your faithfulness in your relationships and it will inspire us. But if we're not spiritually fit, it has the other effect on God's people. But also, it's not just other believers, it's the non-believer who is watching our life, who is watching our life and doctrine closely. Because it says everyone will see your progress. We must be aware that our life, we must be careful that our life does not contradict the faith we claim, nor that our beliefs deny it. And I think there's a big message here to parents, if I'm honest. Your children are watching you closely. They're watching what you do closely. They're watching what you believe, your doctrine, Paul says here. They're studying it. They're also watching your life to see that doctrine lived out. I know that for me, seeing my dad every day spend time praying with the Lord and his Bible, we knew that we weren't to interrupt him then because this was a precious time for him. And we always went to church on a Sunday. It didn't matter where we were. Why? Not because out of some duty, but because he loved being with God's people. I've been really inspired recently by two young parents who've committed to doing this year-long discipleship course with me. And you know, young parents, incredibly busy. But they've committed to these hours. Why? Because they recognise that the best way of caring and loving for their children is to do serving the servant king. They want to be that example. So that's what spiritual fitness is. But what does it look like to be spiritually fit? We know what it looks like to be physically fit. We know it looks like we slim down. We no longer find ourselves getting out of breath, going up steps. We only have one chin rather than several, or in my case, no chin. We know what physical fitness looks like. What is spiritual fitness? Well, Paul tells us in verse 12. And this is a very important verse for our church. Do you know why verse 12 is important for our church? Anyone tell me? Shout it out. It's the name of our youth group. 4:12. 1 Timothy 4:12. So let's read it. And this is why they're called 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Transformation in what we say, transformation in our lifestyle, transformation in our affections, transformation in our worldview, transformation in our purity. Godly speech, we will sound more like Jesus. Godly conduct, our lives will look different to those around us because we make choices to deny ourselves when the world, to deny ourselves for Jesus when the world says deny Jesus for yourself. We walk the way of godly love. Godly, Jesus-like affections. Yes, affection for the lost, but why? Affection for the marginalized. Why? Because our number one affection is for the Lord Jesus. No longer do we chase after those things which cannot satisfy and which leave us anxious and stressed. Godly faith. What we believe is such a battleground for our godliness that of all of these things, it is what we believe that Paul says time and time again throughout our passage. It's the absolute priority of this. He says, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. He goes on to talk about command and teach these things. Set an example in speech and conduct in love. In speech and conduct in love in faith. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Watch your life and doctrine. What we believe is the starting point for our spiritual training. In fact, it is our nourishment. It's our food. There's no point in trying to train really hard when all you're eating is McDonald's. You need to feed yourself on nourishing spiritual food, which is the Word of God. So godly faith and godly holiness. This is about purity, about doing nothing that pollutes our bodies, our minds, our hearts, and our souls. That we are pure from the inside out. Pure because we are forgiven, but then pure because we are committed to the things of the Lord. I'm really struck by that verse in Philippians, which says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. To be someone who is filled with those things and shines them out to others. So that's what spiritual fitness looks like. But finally, how do we therefore get spiritually fit? Well, two things. You've got a personal trainer. Isn't that good news? You have a personal trainer. I always thought I would be so fit if I had a personal trainer. That's why I'm not fit today. Well, we have a spiritual trainer and he's free. And that is the living God himself. This is what it says in Philippians 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's saying, you have been saved, now get on with your spiritual training. But then look at the second part, which is glorious, because it is God who is at work in you to will and to act to fulfill his good purpose. Have you been a failure at physical training? Mentally, put your hands up if you failed at physical training. I said mentally, but you can put it up as well. Absolutely. And you're probably thinking, well, this would be another example of that. No, no, no. All the Lord Jesus wants is for you to want to do it. He will then help you. He will work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose, to fulfill his good purpose. That's why these are not just disciplines, spiritual disciplines. They're spiritual disciplines of God's kindness and goodness and love and grace to you. Yes, they're going to take effort. But the Lord will be there with you and strengthening you in it. You cannot fail with his help. So you've got a personal trainer and he's given you his gym equipment. So what's his gym equipment? Well, that's what we're calling the disciplines of grace. Those are the things, anything which helps us with becoming godly. And that's why it's really important to remember this. I hesitate even to name them. Because the danger is they become our focus. We think, oh, I'll be somebody really good at prayer or reading the Bible or something else. No, no, no. Remember what our goal is. Our goal is spiritual fitness. And what is spiritual fitness? It is godliness. It is knowing Jesus more and becoming more like him. Knowing Jesus more and becoming more like him. And what is the gym equipment that God has given us as we seek to know Jesus more and become more like him? Well, we're going to look at four of those pieces of gym equipment in this series. Meditation on God's truth, which is where we work so that Jesus' truth goes deep into our lives. Fasting, where we seek to grow our hunger for Jesus. Worshipping together, where we seek to grow our vision of Jesus, and confession, when we seek to grow our love for him and our joy in him. There are other things: daily prayer, daily reading of the Bible, study of God's word, serving, giving, solitude, looking at creation, so many wonderful things. We're just going to have time for four in Lent. I just want to leave you there with two concluding thoughts. I don't think you're ever going to feel like doing the disciplines of grace. In terms of physical exercise, I often don't feel like doing physical exercise before I start. But I rarely regret it after I've finished. I rarely feel like doing spiritual exercise, prayer, reading the Bible before I start. And I never regret it afterwards. But secondly, this is not so that God would love you. It isn't so that you'll be a Christian. This is not about how you get God to love you. This is how you respond to his love. And I want to finish just with a little extract from a fantastic book. This would be good Lenten reading for you if you want, Enjoying God by Tim Chester. And he describes, in effect, the Christian who is spiritually fit and the Christian who isn't. Listen to this. Imagine two sons. Jack makes breakfast for his father every day and they chat for half an hour while they eat it together. Later in the day, Jack and his father hang out together, flying a kite, playing football, reading a book. Meanwhile, Jack's older brother, Phil, is embarrassed by his father. Phil stays in his room all day with his music turned up loud. On the rare occasions when Phil communicates with his father, it normally takes the form of dismissive grunts. How many sons does the father have? The answer, of course, is two. And what did they do to become sons? Nothing. They were simply born as sons. But only Jack enjoys being a son. Only Jack enjoys a good relationship with his father. The disciplines of grace will not make you more a child of the living God. And it will not cause the living God to love you any more or less. But it will mean you enjoy knowing him and growing closer to him. Let's pray. Father, as this Lent, we think about these disciplines of grace. We want to say that before we even start them, we are so grateful to you that your salvation is a free gift, that we are children of you, sons and daughters, simply because you chose us and you fixed your love upon us. We thank you that we could not earn it and we never can. Lord, we want to know you more now. We want to know you more deeply for you to fill our lives. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to use these disciplines of grace to become spiritually fitter, that we might look more like Jesus and bear fruit for him. Amen.